This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information and to find out how you can volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Thin Santa Claus, or The Christmas Yard That Was a Christmas Stocking, by Ellis Parker Butler. Mrs. Grotz opened her eyes and looked out at the drizzle that made the Christmas morning gray. Her bed stood against the window, and it was easy for her to look out. All she had to do was to roll over and pull the shade aside. Having looked at the weather, she rolled again onto the broad flat of her back and made herself comfortable for a while, for there was no reason why she should get up until she felt like it.
"Such a Christmas,"
she said good-naturedly to herself.
"I guess such weathers is bad for Santa Claus. Maybe it is because of such weathers he don't come by my house. I don't blame him. So muddy."
She let her eyes close indolently. Not yet was she hungry enough to imagine the tempting odor of fried bacon and eggs, and she idly slipped into sleep again. She was in no hurry. She was never in a hurry. What is the use of being in a hurry when you own a good little house and have money in the bank and are a widow? What is the use of being in a hurry anyway? Mrs. Grotz was always placid and fat, and she always had been. What is the use of having money in the bank and a good little house if you are not placid and fat? Mrs. Grotz lay on her back and slept, placidly and fatly, with her mouth open, as if she expected Santa Claus to pass by and drop a present into it. Her dreams were pleasant. It was no disappointment to Mrs. Grotz that Santa Claus had not come to her house. She had not expected him. She did not even believe in him.
"Yes,"
she had told Mrs. Flannery next door, as she handed a little parcel of toys over the fence for the little Flannerys.
"Once I believes in such a Santa Claus myself yet, I make me pretty good times then, but now I'm too old. I don't believe in such things, but I make pretty good times still. I have a good little house and money in the bank."
Suddenly, Mrs. Grotz closed her mouth and opened her eyes. She smelled imaginary bacon frying. She felt real hunger, and slid out of bed and began to dress herself, and she had just buttoned her red flannel petticoat around her wide waist when she heard a silence, and paused. For a full minute she stood, trying to realize what the silence meant. The English sparrows were chirping as usual, and making enough noise, but through their bickerings the silence still annoyed Mrs. Grotz. And then, quite suddenly again, she knew. Her chickens were not making their usual morning racket.
"I bet you I know what it is, sure,"
she said, and continued to dress as placidly as before. When she went down, she found that she had won the bet. A week before, two chickens had been stolen from her coop, and she had had a strong padlock put on the chicken house. Now the padlock was pried open, and the chicken house was empty, and nine hens and a rooster were gone. Mrs. Grotz stooped and entered the low gate and surveyed the vacant chicken yard placidly. If they were gone, they were gone.
"Such a Santa Claus,"
she said good-naturedly.
"I don't like such a Santa Claus taking away and not bringing. Pretty soon he don't have such a good name anymore if he keeps up doing like this. People likes the bringing Santa Claus. I guess they don't think much of the taking away business. He gets a bad name quick enough if he does this much."
She turned to bend her head to look into the vacant chicken house and stood still. She put out her foot and touched something her eyes had lighted upon, and the thing moved. It was a purse of worn black leather, soaked by the drizzle, but still holding the bend that comes to men's purses when worn long in a back trouser pocket. One end of the purse was muddy and pressed deep into the soft soil where a heel was tramped on it. Mrs. Grotz bent and picked it up. There was $900 in bills in the purse. Mrs. Grotz stood still while she counted the bills, and as she counted, her hands began to tremble, and her knees shook, and she sank on the door sill of the chicken house and laughed until the tears rolled down her face. Occasionally she stopped to wipe her eyes, and the flood of laughter gradually died away into ripples of intermittent giggles that were like sobs after sorrow. Mrs. Grotz had no great sense of humor, but she could see the fun of finding $900. It was enough to make her laugh, so she laughed.
"Goodness, such a Santa Claus!"
she exclaimed with a final sigh of pleasure.
"Such a Christmas present from Santa Claus! No wonder he is so fat yet when he eats 10 chickens in one night already, but I don't kick. I like me that Santa Claus all right. I believes in him pretty good after this, I bet."
She went at once to tell Mrs. Flannery, and Mrs. Flannery was far more excited about it than Mrs. Grotz had been. She said it was the hand of retribution paying back the chicken thief, and the hand of justice repaying Mrs. Grotz for sending toys to the little Flannerys, and pure luck giving Mrs. Grotz what she always got, and a number of other things.
"'Tis the luck of you, Mrs. Grotz, ma'am,"
she said.
"And often I do be saying, it is the Dutch for luck, meaning no disrespect to you. And the fatter the luckier, as I often told me old man, rest his soul, and him so thin. And Christmas morning at that, ma'am, which is nothing at all but the judgment of having on the dirty chicken thief, picking such a day for a stealing, when there's plenty other days in the year for him. Keep the money, ma'am, for it is yours by good rights. And I knew there'd be some good come to you the minute you handed me the presents for the kids. The good folks sure all gets their reward in this world. Only some don't. And I'm only sorry mine is a pig instead of chickens. But not wishing you had the money yourself at all, but who would come to steal a pig? And them such loud squealers. And who do you suspicion it was, Mrs. Gratz, ma'am?"
"I think maybe I got me a present from Santa Claus, yes?"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"And hear the woman,"
said Mrs. Flannery.
"Do you hear that now? Well, true for you, ma'am, and stick to it. There's no telling who'll be claiming the money. And if ever Santa Claus brought a thing to a mortal soul, 'twas him brought you that. And 'twas only yesterday you were saying you'd no belief in him."
"Yesterday I don't have no beliefs in him,"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"Today I have plenty of beliefs in him. I like him plenty. I don't care if he comes every year."
"Sure not,"
said Mrs. Flannery.
"And you with the $900 in your pocket. I'd be glad of the chance. I'd believe in him myself for 450.
That afternoon, Mrs. Flannery, whose excitement had not abated in the least, went over to Mrs. Grotz to spend the afternoon talking to her about the money. She felt that it was good to be that near it, at any rate, and when one can make a whole afternoon's conversation out of what Mrs. Casey said to Mrs. O'Reilly about Mrs. McNeely, it is a shame to miss a chance to talk about $900. Mrs. Flannery was rocking violently and talking rapidly, and Mrs. Grotz was slowly moving her rocker and answering in monosyllables, when someone knocked at the door. Mrs. Grotz answered the knock. Her visitor was a tall, thin man, and he had a slouch hat, which he held in his hands as he talked. He seemed nervous, and his face wore a worried look, extremely worried. He looked like a man who had lost $900, but he did not look like Santa Claus. He was thinner and not so jolly-looking. At first, Mrs. Grotz had no idea that Santa Claus was standing before her, for he did not have a sleigh bell about him, and he had left his red cotton coat with the white batting trimming at home. He stood in the door playing with his hat, unable to speak. He seemed to have some delicacy about beginning.
"Well, what is it?"
said Mrs. Grotz. Her visitor pulled himself together with an effort.
"Well, ma'am, I'll tell you,"
he said frankly.
"I'm a chicken buyer. I buy chickens. That's my business, dealing in poultry. So I came out today to buy some chickens."
"On Christmas Day?"
asked Mrs. Grotz.
"Well,"
said the man, moving uneasily from one foot to the other,
"I did come on Christmas Day, didn't I? I don't deny that, ma'am. I did come on Christmas Day. I'd like to go out and have a look at your chickens."
It ain't so usual for buyers to come buying chickens on Christmas Day, is it?
Interposed Mrs. Grotz good-naturedly.
Well, no, it ain't, and that's a fact,
said the man uneasily.
But I always do. The people I buy chickens for is just as apt to want to eat chicken one day as another day, and more so. Turkey on Christmas Day, and chicken the next for a change. That's what they always tells me. So I have to buy chickens every day. I hate to, but I have to, and if I could just go out and look around your chicken yard.
It was right there that Mrs. Grotz had a suspicion that Santa Claus stood before her.
But I don't sell such a chicken yard yet,
she said. The man wiped his forehead.
Sure not,
he said nervously.
I was going to say look around your chicken yard and see the chickens. I can't buy chickens without I see them, can I? Some folks might, but I can't with the kind of customers I've got. I've got mighty particular customers, and I pay extra prices so as to get the best for them. And when I go out and look around the chicken yard...
How much you pay for such nice, big, fat chickens, maybe?
Asked Mrs. Grotz.
Well, I'll tell you,
said the man.
7 cents a pound is regular, ain't it? Well, I pay 12. I'll give you 12 cents and pay you right now and take all the chickens you've got. That's my rule. But if you want to let me go out and see the chickens first and pick out the kind my regular customers like, I pay 20 cents a pound. But I won't pay 20 cents without I can see the chickens first.
Sure,
said Mrs. Grotz.
I wouldn't do it, too. Maybe I go out and bring in a couple such chickens for you to look at, yes?
No, don't,
said the man impulsively.
Don't do it. It wouldn't be no good. I've got to see the chickens on the hoof, as I might say.
On the hoofs?
Said Mrs. Grotz.
Such poultry don't have no hoofs.
Running around,
explained the visitor.
Running around in the coop. I can tell if a chicken has got any disease that my trade wouldn't like if I see it running around in the coop. There's a lot in the way a chicken runs, in the way it hiss up its legs, for instance. That's what the trade calls it, on the hoof. So I'll just go out and have a look around the coop.
For 20 cents a pound, anybody could let buyers see their chickens on the hoof, I guess,
said Mrs. Grotz.
Now, that's the way to talk,
exclaimed the man.
Only I ain't got any such chickens,
said Mrs. Grotz.
So it ain't of use to look how they walk. So goodbye.
Now say,
said the man, but Mrs. Grotz closed the door in his face.
I guess such a Santa Claus come back yet,
said Mrs. Grotz when she went into the room where Mrs. Flannery was sitting.
But it ain't any use. He don't leave many more such presents.
The impudence of 'em,
exclaimed Mrs. Flannery.
For $900 I could be impudent too,
said Mrs. Grotz calmly.
But I don't like such nowadays Santa Clauses coming back all the time. Once, when I believes in Santa Clauses, they don't come back so much.
The thin Santa Claus had not gone far. He had crossed the street and stood gazing at Mrs. Grotz's door, and now he crossed again and knocked. Mrs. Grotz arose and went to the door.
I believe he comes back once yet,
she said to Mrs. Flannery, and opened the door. He had indeed come back.
Now see here,
he said briskly.
Ain't your name Mrs. Grotz? Well, I knowed it was, and I knowed you was a widow lady, and that's why I said I was a chicken buyer. I didn't want to frighten you, but I ain't no chicken buyer.
No?
Asked Mrs. Grotz.
No, I ain't. I just said that so I could get a look at your chicken yard. I've got to see it. What I am is chicken house inspector for the 9th ward, and the mayor sent me up here to inspect your chicken house, and I've got to do it before I go away or lose my job. I'll go right out now, and it'll be all over in a minute.
I guess it ain't some use,
said Mrs. Grotz.
I guess I don't keep any more chickens. They go too easy. Yesterday I have plenty, and today I haven't any.
That's it,
said the thin Santa Claus.
That's just it. That's the way tuberculosis bugs act. Quick like that. They're a bad epidemic, tuberculosis bugs is. You see how they act. Yesterday you have chickens, and last night the tuberculosis bugs gets at them, and this morning they've eat them all up.
Goodness!
Exclaimed Mrs. Grotz without emotion.
With the feathers and the bones, too?
Sure,
said the thin Santa Claus.
Why, them tuberculosis bugs is perfectly ravenous. Once they get started, they eat feathers and bones and feet and all. A chicken hasn't no chance at all. That's why the mayor sent me up here. He heard all your chickens was gone, and gone quick. And he says to me, "Tuberculosis bugs," that's what he says. And he says, "You ain't doing your duty. You ain't inspecting Mrs. Gratz's chicken coop. You go and do it, or you're fired, see?" He says that, and he says, "You inspect Mrs. Gratz's coop, and you kill off them bugs before they get into her house and eat her all up, bones and all."
"And feathers?"
asked Mrs. Gratz calmly.
"No, he didn't say feathers. This ain't nothing to fool about. It's serious. So I'll go right out and have a look."
"I guess such bugs ain't been in my coop last night,"
said Mrs. Gratz carelessly.
"I ain't afraid of such bugs in winter time."
"Well, that's where you make your mistake,"
said the thin Santa Claus.
"Winter is just the bad time for them bugs. The more a tuberculosis bug freezes up, the more dangerous it is. In summer they ain't so bad. They're soft-like and squash up when a chicken gets them. But in winter they freeze up hard and get brittle. Then a chicken comes along and grabs one, and it busts into 1,000 pieces, and each piece turns into a new tuberculosis bug, and busts into 1,000 pieces, and so on, and the chicken gets all filled full of tuberculosis bugs before it knows it. When a chicken snaps up one tuberculosis bug, it has 1,000,000 in it inside of 30 minutes, and that chicken don't last long. And when the bugs make for the house, what's that on your dress there now?"
Mrs. Gratz looked at her arm indifferently.
"Nothing,"
she said.
"I thought maybe it was a tuberculosis bug had got on you already,"
said the thin Santa Claus.
"If it was, you would be all eat up inside of 30 minutes. Them bugs is awful rapacious."
"Yes?"
inquired Mrs. Gratz with interest.
"Such strong bugs, too, is it not?"
"You bet they are strong,"
began the stranger.
"I should think so,"
interrupted Mrs. Gratz.
"To smash up padlocks on such chicken houses. You make me afraid of such bugs. I don't dare let you go out there to get your bones and feet all eat up by them. I guess not."
"Well, you see,
said the thin Santa Claus, puzzled, and then he cheered up.
"You see, I ain't afraid of them. I've been fumigated against them. Fumigated and antiskepticized. I've been vaccinated against them by the Board of Health. I'll show you the mark on my arm if you want to see it."
"No, don't,"
said Mrs. Gratz.
"I let you go and look in that chicken coop if you want to, but it ain't no use. There ain't nothing there."
The thin Santa Claus paused and looked at Mrs. Gratz with suspicion.
"Why, did you find it?"
he asked.
"Find what?"
asked Mrs. Gratz innocently, and the thin Santa Claus sighed and walked around to the back of the house. Mrs. Gratz went with him. As Mrs. Gratz watched the thin man search the chicken yard for tuberculosis bugs, all doubt that he was her Santa Claus left her mind. He made a most minute investigation, but he did it more as a man might search for a lost purse than as a health officer would search for germs. He even got down on his hands and knees and poked under the chicken house with a stick. And, when he had combed the chicken yard thoroughly and had looked all through the chicken house, he even searched the denuded vegetable garden in the backyard and looked over the fence into Mrs. Flannery's yard. Evidently, he was not pleased with his investigation, for he did not even say goodbye to Mrs. Gratz, but went away looking mad and cross. When Mrs. Gratz went into her house, she took her seat in her rocking chair and began rocking herself calmly and slowly.
"'To was hemmed on a chair,"
said Mrs. Flannery.
"I don't like such come-agains much,"
said Mrs. Gratz placidly.
"I try me to believe in such a Santa Claus, but I like not such come-agains. In Germany did not Santa Claus come back so much. I don't like a Santa Claus should be so anxious. Still I believes in him, but if he has too many such come-agains, I don't believe in him much."
"I would be setting the place on him, Santa Claus or no Santa Claus,"
said Mrs. Flannery vindictively.
"To mean chicken thief?"
"Oh,"
said Mrs. Gratz easily.
"I guess I don't care much. Should a $900 Santa Claus steal some chickens? I ain't mad."
But she was a little provoked when another knock came at the door a few minutes later, and when, on opening it, she saw the thin Santa Claus before her again.
"So,"
she said,
"Santa Claus is back yet once."
"What's that?"
asked the man suspiciously.
"I say, what is it you want?"
said Mrs. Gratz.
Oh,
said the man.
Well, I ain't a-going to fool with you no longer, Mrs. Gratz. I'm a-going to tell you right out what I am and who I am. I'm a detective of the police, and I'm looking up a mighty bad character.
I guess I know right where you find one,
said Mrs. Gratz politely.
Now, don't be funny,
said the thin Santa Claus peevishly.
Maybe you noticed I didn't say nothing when you spoke about that padlock being busted. Maybe you noticed how careful I looked over your chicken coop and how I looked over the fence into the next yard. Well, I won't fool you. I ain't no chicken yard inspector, and I ain't no chicken buyer. Them was just my detective disguises. I'm out detecting a chicken thief, just a plain, ordinary chicken thief, and what I come for is clues.
Yes,
said Mrs. Gratz.
And what is it, such clues? I haven't any clueses.
The thin Santa Claus seemed provoked.
Now look here,
he said.
You may think this is funny, but it isn't. I have got to catch that chicken thief, or I'll lose my job, and I can't catch him unless I have some clues to catch him with. Now, didn't you have some chickens stolen last night?
Chickens?
Asked Mrs. Gratz.
No, I didn't have chickens stolen. Such tuberculosis bugs eat them, with feathers, too, and bones, right off the hoofs. Ain't it a pity?
It may have been a blush of shame, but it was more like a flush of anger that overspread the face of the thin Santa Claus. He stared hard at the placid German face of Mrs. Gratz and decided she was too stupid to mean it, that she was not teasing him.
You don't catch on,
he said.
You see, there ain't any such things as tuberculosis bugs. I just made that up as sort of detective disguise. Them chickens wasn't eat by no bugs at all. They was stole, see? A chicken thief come right into the coop and stole them. Do you think any kind of bug could pry off a padlock?
Mrs. Gratz seemed to let this sink into her mind and to revolve there and get to feeling at home before she answered.
No,
she said at length.
I guess not. But Santa Claus could do it. Such a big fat man. Sure he could do it.
Why, you...
began the thin man crossly, and then changed his tone.
There ain't no such thing as Santa Claus,
he said, as one might speak to a child. But even a chicken thief would not tell a child such a thing, I hope.
No,
queried Mrs. Gratz sadly.
No, Santa Claus? And I was scared of it myself, with such tuberculosis bugs around. He should not to have gone into such a chicken coop with so many bugs busting up all over. He had a right to have fumigated himself once, and now he ain't. He's all eat up, on the hoof, bones and feet and all, and such a kind man, too.
The thin Santa Claus frowned. He had half an idea that Mrs. Gratz was fooling with him, and when he spoke it was crisply.
Now see here,
he said.
Last night somebody broke into your chicken coop and stole all your chickens. I know that. And he's been stealing chickens all round this town, and all round this part of the country, too, and I know that. And this stealing has got to stop. I've got to catch that thief. And to catch him, I've got to have a clue. A clue is something he has left around, or dropped, where he was stealing. Now, did that chicken thief drop any clues in your chicken yard? That's what I want to know. Did he drop any clues?
Maybe, if he dropped some clues, those tuberculosis bugs eat them up,
suggested Mrs. Gratz.
They eats bones and feathers. Maybe they eat clues, too.
Now, ain't that smart?
Sneered the thin Santa Claus.
Don't you think you're funny? But I'll tell you the clue I'm looking for. Did that thief drop a pocketbook or anything like that?
Oh, a pocketbook,
said Mrs. Gratz.
How much should be in such a pocketbook, maybe?
$900,
said the thin Santa Claus promptly.
Goodness!
Exclaimed Mrs. Gratz.
So much money, all in one clues. Come out to the chicken yard once. I'll help hunt for clues, too.
The thin Santa Claus stood a minute looking doubtfully at Mrs. Gratz. Her face was large and placid and unemotional.
Well,
he said with a sigh,
it ain't much use, but I'll try it again.
When he had gone, after another close search of the chicken yard and coop, Mrs. Gratz returned to her friend Mrs. Flannery.
Pretty soon I don't believe any more in Santa Claus at all,
she said.
Pretty soon I have more beliefs in chicken thieves than in Santa Claus. Yet a while I believes in him, but one more of those come-agains and I don't.
He'll not be coming back any more,
said Mrs. Flannery positively.
"I'm wondering he came at all, the deal's so handy. All you have to do is call a cop."
"Sure,"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"But it is not nice I should put Santa Claus in jail. Such a liberal Santa Claus, too."
"Have it your own way, ma'am,"
said Mrs. Flannery.
"I'll own to some different when chickens are stowed. 'Tis hard to expend the affections on a bunch of chickens. But if anyone was to steal my pig, to jail he would go. Santa Claus or no Santa Claus. Not but what you have a kind heart anyway, ma'am. Not wanting to put the poor fella in jail. But he's already lost $900, which, goodness knows, you might have to hand back, was the law to take hand on it."
"So,"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"Such is the law yet? All right, I don't believe in chicken thieves, no matter how much he comes back again. I stick me to Santa Claus. Always will I believe in Santa Claus. Chicken thieves gives, and wants to take away again, but Santa Claus is always giving and never taking."
"You're forgetting the chickens that was took,"
suggested Mrs. Flannery.
"Took?"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"Tooken,"
Mrs. Flannery corrected.
"Tooked?"
said Mrs. Grotz.
"I believes me not in Santa Claus that way. I believes he is a good old man. For givings, I believes in Santa Claus, but for takings, I believes in tuberculosis bugs."
"And the busted padlock, then?"
asked Mrs. Flannery.
"Ach,"
exclaimed Mrs. Grotz.
"Them reindeers is so frisky yet. They have a right to kick up and bust it, maybe."
Mrs. Flannery sighed.
"'Tis a grand thing to have faith, ma'am,"
she said.
"Yes,"
said Mrs. Grotz indolently.
"That's nice. And it is nice to have $900 more in the bank, ain't it?"
End of The Thin Santa Claus, or The Chicken Yard That Was a Christmas Stocking, by Ellis Parker Butler. Narration read by Betsy Bush.
Mrs. Flannery by Laura.
Mrs. Grotz, read by Kara Schallenberg.
Thin Santa is read by Bill Kuhn.